is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, in Praise of Monarchy. We will come to the monarch himself, Charles III in Canada, but we begin with a catastrophe. June 4th, 1989, now known as the Tiananmen Square protests. What happened was entirely avoidable. The rising up spontaneously of young people in Beijing, but also outside, thinking the whole world was watching. Well, it was, because there had been previously days and days of yearning for freedom following the fall of the Soviet Union and the expectation that it was possible for China also to transform itself. This is 1989. The Soviet Union ends in 1991, but there was great anxiety in the world because of Gorbachev's changes, his reform, so-called. China heard that, and the people responded accordingly until, Gregory, a very good evening to you. The farther we get away from Tiananmen Square, the more it seems like heaven's judgment on the Chinese Communist Party. Deng Xiaoping ordered in the bully boys and the tanks, and there was a massacre. It's still banned to talk about Tiananmen Square on Chinese media. Anywhere in the world it's mentioned, you're either going to be bullied, ignored, or harassed by the regime. Why are they so frightened of an event that everybody knows about? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, they have to be frightened about it because the situation is recurring now. The massive, ongoing, city-by-city demonstrations against the Communist Party, against Xi Jinping, against the economic conditions of the day, the lack of freedom and the like, these are all rising up again to threaten the Communist Party. Deng Xiaoping understood that he had to suppress this dramatically and on June the 4th, 89. And what he then did, of course, was to ensure that some flower of hope, if you like, was granted to the Chinese population in that they could grow their own food. And that eventually became the start of the economic growth of the People's Republic of China. In other words, moving it away from massive and overall communist control. The question is, do the Chinese people today remember Tiananmen Square? They've heard about it, obviously, but these are people who have been subject increasingly, and particularly during Xi Jinping's tenure, to censorship and lockdown and thought control. And even if you know about certain things, will you talk about them for fear of being surveilled and arrested? I think that there are a lot of people now who are starting on an absolutely new course of protest throughout the country. And that's culminating right now in the loss of control by Xi Jinping. He's effectively out of office right now. He hasn't been seen for a dozen days. So the question is, where is he? What's he doing? We know he's, quote, sent letters of congratulations to foreign leaders and the like. But that's not really the active presence of a leader. The party itself, the party elders, are debating how to replace him without the party itself collapsing. And that will be decided in the next party, a major party meeting in August. So we're seeing a period now where the party is consolidating. Xi Jinping has been removed from literally all authority. All of his tentacles of power, his appointments of his loyalists, they've all been overturned. So now he has no network and hierarchy of leaders to enforce his will. The question is, will the party somehow order crackdowns on public disputes between now and August when they announce the big change, which will be presumably to a collective leadership with a less authoritarian central figure?
I believe you're talking about the Baidehe retreat where they go to the beach and watch the ocean. That's where they'll decide?
That's presumably where this is going to be all decided, yes. And they've been openly talking about getting their positions ready for Baidehe.
We move from China, fate to be determined by violence or not, to South Korea, where the turn of the tables now puts a man associated with appeasement with China, elected to be the president of the country. His name is Li. He's won a comfortable election, as the polls said he would easily. The question is, what kind of president will he make? President Yoon, who was removed from office by impeachment and elaborate court proceedings, represented a conservative point of view in that confronting China was necessary. He joined with Japan and the United States in declaring that they would defend Taiwan. I believe the new president, who is called left-leaning by Al Jazeera, to tell you how left he is, Lee Jae-myung, is now looking to talk to Beijing, maybe even talk to Pyongyang. What does this mean for security in East Asia, to your measure, Gregory?
Well, certainly Lee Jae-myung has had a known background as a human rights lawyer and the like, so we can expect him to follow his party line. And now that the party controls parliament and the presidency, we can expect that to be consolidated. However, what we have seen in the last few months is a recognition in Seoul, and I believe even in Lee's own party, that China is not going to be the big brother that they can count on at any time in the future, and that they do need to have relationships with the United States. And in fact, the incoming president there, Lee, has made it clear that his first priority is seeking some kind of economic accommodation and a trade deal with the United States. That may also relate to a slowdown, if you like, in his party's attempts to seek reunification with North Korea, because that would be an economic burden too difficult to handle at this stage. So although it's definitely a turn away from the arch conservatives who were going to talk to Japan, were very close with the United States and against the PRC, it's really because of the situation in Beijing, I think the new Korean government is going to be cautious in how it talks to Beijing. They certainly will talk to Beijing, but I think they'll be very cautious about it.
The U.S. Navy believes that 2027 is a date that very much likely is lead to kinetic warfare. They're preparing for it. They talk about it all the time. Many admirals, not just one or two. In the event that China tumbles into disorder following the removal of or the demotion of Xi Jinping, or in the event that Xi Jinping outlasts the party fathers to qualify him in some fashion, the defense of East Asia is going to be necessary if it all comes. There are a lot of ifs here. What I'm trying to get to is, does this election in South Korea very much change the defensive posture that the Japan, the Philippines, Taiwan, the United States, Australia have built up over these last years? Do things become more difficult without South Korea participating?
Well, they certainly become more difficult if South Korea is not an active participant in the, shall we say, the Western or pro-Western coalition in the region, which includes at this stage India and the Philippines and Australia and so on, up through to South Korea and Japan. But it doesn't change the outcome. The PRC right now is so bereft, if you like, of strategic cohesion. And it's not just the fate of Xi Jinping, which is of concern, is will the Communist Party of China survive? If the party survives, then you can expect a period of delicacy where they may need to have some foreign diversion, or on the other hand, they may come up with a rationale as to why they're abandoning the attempted integration of Taiwan, the Republic of China, into the People's Republic of China. People keep saying about the reintegration of Taiwan with Communist China. They were never united before at all. Communist China is an artificial creation after the cessation of hostilities in the Civil War in 1949. So essentially, the world can deal with the People's Republic of China in its present condition, with its present weakened condition. Yes, they do have formidable military capabilities and some very good technologies. They also have cracks in the system, military system, and there's a great question about whether they can get cohesion and loyalty and perseverance to prosecute a major military engagement. So I think whatever way we're looking at, we're looking at coming to a new post-China era. Now, whether that's a post-Xi Jinping era or a post-communist China era, we have to wait and see, because I think within a few years, we could see, without the Communist Party of China, we'll see the country revert to warlordism and basically regional armed camps and possibly the breakup of the PRC, as we've seen before through history.
I'm speaking with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs editor and publisher, the author of the new book, Noble State. We turn to more election news, this time in Europe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.